Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Going to the hotline, talk a little Bengals with Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Anytime. You know, you look at this Bengals team coming off of a very nice come-from-behind victory over the Green Bay Packers at home. Now come to Cleveland this week. What do you see as some of the key matchups in this game between the Bengals and the Browns in the Battle of Four Ohio?
Well, I think it's clearly the Bengals' offense versus the Browns' defense. The Browns' defense has one of the best defenses in the league. I mean, by the time Ray Horton gets done with these guys, they're going to be a top 10 unit if they aren't already. I don't care what the numbers say. You know, they get a really the Bengals are really worried. Their front seven, they got high regard for Joe Hayden, and that's a poisonous combination where you get a front seven like that that stops the run in a lockdown corner. And so, I think to me the big matchups are the Bengals offensive line trying to get push on that defensive line that has limiting people to less than 3 yards per carry. A.J. Green has to make hay on Joe Hayden, which doesn't happen very often. So they got to somehow make the safety get down there to stop the run. And, you know, Ray hasn't had to do that. So, you know, I think it's the Bengals offensive line versus that front to try and get Ray out of checkmate. And, you know, because there's no way you can sit back there against the Ray Horton, Dick LeBeau zone blitz defense. There's no way you can sit back there and throw it 30, 32, 34 times, especially on the road.
And the other thing, Jeff, what we saw last week, 4 turnovers, and that obviously had a lot to do with the Bengals getting into a 16-point hole that they, of course, escaped and came away with a huge win over the Packers. But give me a sense of the ball security thing. How big of a concern is it? How prevalent is it within the entire offense?
Sloppy. It's very concerning to these guys. Marvin Lewis' team, that is one of the things that he smoked out when he came here in 2003. The Bengals were brutal at many things. One of them was turning it over. And, you know, this has been a pretty competent team that way. And they've become contenders. I think all teams that become contenders do it because of plus minus. It was more a sloppiness more than anything. They failed to pick up a blitz, which led to a Dalton fumble. They didn't block the backside, which led to a very rare event, the Ben Jarvis Green Ellis fumble. Gresham was trying to get more yards after the catch and fumbled, and Dalton threw a bad pick where he didn't lead the receiver. So, it's not a product of the offense. It's a product of individual, you know, things. More so than the defense. So I think. One of these deals, I hate to say it because it's such a cliche, Vic, we hear it all the time, you know, they're fixable, you know, we're shooting ourselves in the foot, but I think in this case, you know, Clay Matthews made 2 of the turnovers, he's a hell of a player, but, you know, if you try to block the guy, you know, I think, then Benny doesn't fumble it.
Jeff, one of the things you and I have talked about extensively on Sirius is Giovanni Bernard, and for the first time in week 3, Bernard played more snaps than Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, 30-23, took a season high 14 total touches, 99 total yards, scored again for the second straight game. He's the one guy that I think a lot of us up here in Cleveland are very concerned about in this matchup, because the Browns do a very good job against straight ahead runners, but a space back and air back like Bernard, certainly against a team that, you know, could be without some starters on the defensive front, sounds like a very big problem.
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons Gio had so many touches was they were in a hole, so they were going out of one back. You know, they were trying to get back in the game. So that's not Benny's kind of game, you know. Up in Cleveland, though, I wouldn't be surprised to see if they try to slog it up there. But the bottom line is Bernard's going to get more and more looks. There's no way you can't give him the ball. If not in a even, then you're going to give him more touches probably. But I think. You know, he's what makes them different. He and Eifert make them different. We talked about this, you know, so many times. Marvin must be listening to the show because he snapped off and that's the last we're going to talk about it when talking about the rotation. So I think he thinks that's a feather in his cap, you know, that he doesn't know, you know, people don't really know, you know, what's going to happen. You know, it's a pretty good package either way, you know, and, you get that Geo is that secret weapon, you know, I mean, I like to call him Benny and the Jet. You know, you never know what you're going to get there.
Jeff Hobson joining us from Bengals.com. Check out his great work there covering the Cincinnati Bengals. And, Jeff, the other matchup, kind of flipping it around from a Browns standpoint of backs who can catch the ball. They have no one who's really sterling at making a lot happen in the open field. But, you know, a Willis McGahee in his younger days, they've got Chris Obanaya, who is at least it's his forte to run precise routes, have good hands, et cetera. Matching those guys, plus, and maybe more critically, Jordan Cameron, the tight end, against the Bengals linebackers. It would seem to me that is the one, or that is an area, would have to be an area of concern for an otherwise stellar Bengal defense.
Well, yeah, you know, especially since, you know, I mean, I know the Browns are nicked on the D-line. The Bengals are very, very nicked in the secondary. I mean, enough so that old friend Chris Crocker is going to make an appearance.
Former Brown, yeah.
At Cleveland, who's for the second year in a row, unbelievably, he's coming off the couch in the fourth week of the year, and he may get some snaps. That's how badly hurt they are. I mean, Leon Hall played about perfect game as you can get at corner, playing a slot against Randall Cobb last week. Unfortunately, he got hurt doing it. Reggie Nelson's also in lane, their safety. So, you know, the Bengals have always, even as good as Mike Zimmer's defenses have been, and you know, been in the playoffs through the last 4 years, number six last year, number seven in 2012. They've always had trouble with tight ends, and a guy like Cameron, you know, that worries them, because not only, you know, even when they're healthy, they've had trouble covering guys like that. And you know, I think they, I think Tyler Eifert was more of, if you can't beat him, join him, you know. So it sounds like Cameron kind of gives the same kind of look that Eifert does, a slot guy, line him up anywhere, can go down the field. And I know that's a guy that they're worried about, certainly with the condition of their secondary.
For good reason, he's played pretty well. Josh Gordon made his return for the Cleveland Browns last week, a dominant wide receiver. You know, one of the things that people have been asking, given that it's this game, you know, can he be in the class of A.J. Green? And obviously he has a long way to go. Green may be the best receiver in the NFL, certainly in the discussion with Calvin Johnson. But when you think about defending this Browns team in the first 2 weeks, and now you think about defending them with Gordon there, what kind of a difference in terms of the threat provided does he make?
Well, I mean, I think it puts a lot of stress on those guys back there because they are so undermanned. You know, I mean, I don't know, they're a man team, you know, so it'll be interesting to think if they can man up with Gordon, who's a hell of a player. I think we'll see. You know, Leon Hall would be the guy that would shadow a guy, you know, if they had anybody to do that, but they don't usually do that. So I think you'll see Zimmer come at him with a mix of man and zone, I would imagine. And I think probably, you know, the flip side obviously is Hayden on AJ. I mean, Hayden's going to shadow AJ, and they may get some help. And you know, I think the big thing for the Bengals is they got to get you know, they're going to have to get the quarterback one dimensional. That's Zimmer's thing, you know, to really emphasize stopping a run so that he can open it up a little bit. You know, he's got that great four man rush. They can come back. They come with five, you know, sometimes, but a lot of times they just go four. And you know, I think that's the key. I think, especially this week, with them down in the secondary, is you know, you got to make sure that you know, you put this game on Hoyer's shoulders.
Last one, Jeff. When you talk about this Bengals team, big picture, they're getting a lot of love and plaudits that they, you know, are one of the better teams in the league and stacked in so many areas, especially on defense. But we know all those offensive weapons we're talking about. The yeah, but, you know where I'm going to go here. The yeah, but is Andy Dalton. After three games, and I know he has the three interceptions. You said he had one bad pick in those four turnovers last week. But in three games, after three games, I should say, where is he on the scale of can he not be the weak link for a team that has designs on, you know, playing well into January and they hope, I guess, February?
I mean, I'm starting to think, Vic, that this guy is a winner. I mean, he may look like Pigpen at times. It may not look very pretty, but he's a grinder. That game last week, you know, he had a brutal start, and then you look up at the end of it, he's 20-28. He's got a 105.5. He outplayed Rodgers. He made fewer mistakes than Rodgers. He's a guy that doesn't hurt you. He doesn't make the big screw up. I mean, that's to me, that's what's defined him, you know. And so maybe people ought to quit banging him for maybe not having the great stats or not having the pretty passes. And just look, the man is 21-14 in his first 35 starts. He's 11-6 in a row. He's been to the playoffs twice. I think, you know, he gutted out he beat two Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks, granted, with the help of his defense, but he did, and Roethlisberger and Rodgers. And I think, you know, the key to me is not Dalton, it's the people around them. And if he, because he's this guy, he's a point guard, he's a distributor. He's not Carson Palmer. He's not a guy. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Manning. He's not this big guy that's going to throw it through the wind, you know, a 60-mile-per-hour wind up at Cleveland. But he's going to deliver the ball. He's a point guard, and to me, so far, he's proven that he can win, and he can win in tough situations and on prime time and against great quarterbacks. I mean, it's quarterback. You're only as good as those that are around you. And so far, I think he's been up to the challenge as far as getting the ball to the people that need to get it. And he's got another, you know, this is going to be an interesting thing up here because this is the best defense. It's clearly the best defense he's seen this year, and it's on the road.
Jeff, always appreciate you stopping by. Look forward to seeing you this weekend as the Browns and the Bengals meet. Keep up the great work at Bengals.com, and always great chatting with you.
Thanks, guys. Guys do a great job at Browns.com. Look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Sunday, buddy.
Jeff Hobson, interesting that he talked about there, and it was just reported as well on Twitter by Joe Reedy, that Hall, Nelson, and Pollock all not practicing for the Bengals on Thursday. If their secondary is beaten up, the path to victory for the Browns just got a little bit wider and a little more accommodating.
You're letting yourself go there, aren't you? You're getting excited.
I am excited about that because
I see the look on your face.
The two biggest playmakers for the Browns are in the passing game, so I like that. This is good. All right, we'll be back wrapping things up here on a Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Forge. Rod Cherry coming your way.